Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of the Downtown Phoenix podcast. I'm your host, Edward Jensen, and you've probably noticed that things are a little different around here. This episode, released Monday, the 31st of March, 2014, and next week's episode 6, which will be released on Monday, the 7th of April, 2014, are going to be talking about the process of budgeting in the city of Phoenix. It's budget season, and it's time to learn about how that process works and how you can get involved. Now, before you turn this episode off and say, okay, that's it, I'm finished, we're also going to be talking about how the governmental entity that is the city of Phoenix operates. There have been a lot of mischaracterizations of that in recent years, and it's time, I think, to take some time here on the Downtown Phoenix podcast and show you how our government works. Well, we'll be talking about it from an academic perspective. We'll certainly try to make the language as open and accessible as possible. So stick around for the next 25 minutes or so, won't you? This is a podcast of learning and action, after all, and this episode will certainly fuse those two together. And we'll be back with episode 5 of the Downtown Phoenix podcast, the Phoenix Budget 101, after this. Welcome back to episode 5 of the Downtown Phoenix podcast, the Phoenix Budget 101. As I noted in the preview, this is the first of two consecutive episodes of the podcast that's focusing on the City of Phoenix's budget process for its next fiscal year 2014-2015, which runs from July 1st of 2014 to June 30th, 2015. This week's episode will talk about the urban governance perspective of the budget process and describe some of the components of the city's budget. We'll also take some time to describe how the government of the City of Phoenix is structured and how it operates. On next week's episode of the podcast, we'll talk to some groups that have enjoyed success in speaking on particular budget issues, even in times of lean finances. That episode will be released next week, Monday, the 7th of April, 2014. Before this week's perspective essay, it's convenient to do a little housekeeping about the final 4 episodes of this inaugural series of the Downtown Phoenix podcast. It's hard to believe we're over halfway finished. As I mentioned earlier, both this week's episode as well as next week's episode will deal with the city budget process. Episode 7 will look at downtown transportation issues that are being discussed and debated. We'll also look at how our neighbors and colleagues with accessibility and mobility issues are making sure that their voices are heard in the conversation. Episode 7 will be released on Monday, the 14th of April. Finally, our inaugural series finale episode, which will be released on the 21st of April, we'll look at underrepresented neighborhoods and constituencies that aren't always included in the downtown conversation and what tools they can have to make sure that their interests are heard in the conversation. But now for some perspective. A city's budget outlines its policies and its priorities for its operation. It is evident in how it decides to raise revenue and in how it spends that revenue. Following a contentious Phoenix City Council campaign in which the fate of the 2% food tax was discussed and debated as a core issue, the Phoenix City Council decided that they wanted to phase out the food tax from its original 2% to 1% before eliminating it altogether. Coupled with that and with rises in costs of doing business in the City of Phoenix, the present situation is that there is a $38 million deficit between what the city will collect in revenue and what it expects to spend in this coming year. What is also needed in this conversation is the knowledge of how the City of Phoenix operates. A lot of terms are thrown around, council manager, strong mayor, and so on, but a clean and concise overview of how our city government actually operates is strangely missing. We will try to explain in clear, concise, and accessible terms about how our government operates. The notions of taxation and governmental spending are inherently political issues with very entrenched positions. At the Downtown Phoenix podcast, we welcome a debate and lively discussion on such topics like the size, scope, and role of government at any level in our society. But we note with much sadness, however, the ferocity of the debate and the stalemate of this conversation at the federal and some state levels of government. When we at the Downtown Phoenix podcast discuss the politics of municipal governance, we will revert to our set of 10 editorial principles that we have established at the start of this series. We will do what we can to advocate and advance an urban environment in which progressive urbanism is celebrated. In times of lean finances, such as what the city is facing now, some projects have received increased funding and operation. It is not our objective to call out what these projects are, unlike other outlets of journalism in this city. Instead, we seek to identify and partner with smart and sensible voices to advance progressive urban interests within our city as well as downtown community. We seek to work in partnership instead of in persistent antagonism. On next week's episode of the Downtown Phoenix podcast, we are going to be talking to individuals and representatives of organizations that have been at different budget hearings in the past to hear from them about how they have made their voices heard in the process. We are, after all, a podcast of action, and we seek to provide a toolkit to be involved in what this city does. With all this information, this should provide the toolkit to empower the people of this great city to advocate for their interests efficiently and effectively. So let's get to it. We will begin our examination of the City of Phoenix budgeting process with an exploration of the structure of the government of the city. By the laws of the state of Arizona and the City Charter of Phoenix, think of the City Charter as like the Constitution of the City of Phoenix. The city is a municipal corporation, and this actually is perfect for the analogy with which we will work to describe the city, a publicly traded large corporation. I will note that this is a simplification of things, but that this is, I think, a good framework within which to work. The City of Phoenix is what is referred to as a council-manager form of government. In fact, it's the largest city by population to use that form of government. It's also one of the cities that has been using council-manager form of government for the longest continuous period of time. In a council-manager form of government, the mayor and members of the city council are the legislative arm of government, while the city manager is the chief executive of the city. So under this form of government, the mayor is essentially an at-large member of the city council that is elected by the entire voting electorate of the city. It's important to note that the mayor of the City of Phoenix, or any city that has a council manager form of government, has no special executive function, nor do they have leverage to unanimously set the city policy. The mayor must work collaboratively with his or her colleagues on the city council to do that. The mayor leads the meetings of the city council and, in case of a tie vote of the city council, serves as the tie-breaking vote. Now, let's go to our analogy. Let's think of the City of Phoenix as though it's this large publicly traded corporation. Again, let me note that this is a simplification, but I do think it works quite well. So let's call this company Phoenix Inc. The voters of the city of Phoenix would be like the shareholders of Phoenix Inc. The shareholders elect from time to time an 8-member board of directors and a chairman of the board, which would be the 8-member Phoenix City Council, and that chair would be the mayor of the city of Phoenix. Now, in some boards of directors, the chair is elected among the board members and not specially elected. And it's also important to note for clarification that in the city of Phoenix, each member of the city council serves a specific district and not elected at large. Now, This board of directors hires someone to serve as their corporation's CEO, who will be in charge of the executive functions of the company. The CEO assembles a team to oversee various organizational units and departments because the CEO doesn't want to manage everything in this large corporation. The CEO of Phoenix Inc. would be the city manager of the city of Phoenix, which is Mr. Ed Zuercher. And he has assembled his leadership team. Now, in the interest of accuracy, it should be noted that the Phoenix City Council also hires one other employee. They hire the city manager, but they also hire the chief presiding judge of the Phoenix Municipal Court, who is Miss Roxanne Songong. The Phoenix Municipal Court is part of the state judiciary system, and that, although an important function of city government, is not one that we will explore here on this episode of the podcast. Now, it's worth repeating and worth noting again that nowhere in the executive functions of the city does the mayor really intervene. Unlike other cities with the strong mayor form of government, or a council mayor form of government, also known as strong mayor, and a more executive-minded mayor, I think of, you know, the Rahm Emanuels of Chicago, you know, the Daleys, also of Chicago, and the recently elected mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio. Phoenix's city government is not set up in that way. To summarize, our mayor, Greg Stanton, is but a ninth member of the Phoenix City Council. For the purposes of this episode of the Downtown Phoenix podcast, it is not our intent to describe the strengths and weaknesses of a particular form of government. Instead, we are working within the framework that has been given to us in the city of Phoenix. Talk budget. Do keep in mind in the course of this conversation and examination of municipal budgeting that there are entire sequences of graduate level courses in public and municipal budgeting at schools of public administration. So this is intended to be a very broad overview of the process and not an in-depth examination and evaluation of different methods of budgeting or the politics of budgeting or the science of budgeting. But it's not a random art either. So in our discussion here, we're going to talk about the different approaches to budgeting, some strengths, some weaknesses of each of those approaches, and then carry on our conversation to how it works in our city of Phoenix. Now, if you want some further reading on the topic of municipal budgeting and, in fact, municipal governance, there are two books that I recommend reading. The first is Managing Urban America, the 6th edition, or whatever the current edition is, by David Morgan, Robert England, and John Pellicero. The second is Public Administration, Power and Politics in the 4th Branch of Government, by Kevin Smith and Michael Licari. Keep in mind, these are two textbooks for public administration courses, but they're both written in very accessible language. And I do encourage you to check them out either online or at the public library. So in the practice on budgeting, as well as in the academic literature on the topic, there are three generally used approaches for setting a municipal budget. The first is line item budgeting, the second is programmatic budgeting, and the third is zero-based budgeting. Now, line item budgeting is exactly as it sounds. Each different item in a city that a city uses is given a line item, and it's that budget. And things like, in addition to things like staffing costs, it's like postage, paper, printing. And it's a very commonly used approach to budgeting, and a lot of organizations use this. But the problem with line item budgeting is that it isn't exactly the most, it doesn't allow for visionary thinking. It doesn't allow for big thinking, because All you're doing is marking up the budget for very specific items. And so you're just doing very incremental, sort of managing the store type approach. The second form of budgeting is programmatic budgeting, in which programs and initiatives receive budgets and funding, as opposed to specific items. And this is a more commonly used method of budgeting. In fact, what the City of Phoenix does is use a hybrid of both this and then the last form of budgeting that I will talk about, zero-based budgeting. The problem with programmatic budgeting, however, is that it doesn't allow a lot of accountability in the way of seeing where the money is spent as the money is received. And the last form of budgeting is zero-based budgeting, which can almost be looked at as more of an approach to budgeting than a style of budgeting. What zero-based budgeting means is that every year the budget for every program is set to zero, and it's up to the department heads to justify why they need the money that they think that they need. And then it's up to the budget directors and the city manager's office to come up with the exact budget proposals. Zero-based budgeting was conceived as a reform to budgeting because there was not a lot of happiness with how budgets were being prepared, especially if you were using line item budgeting. It was one of the budget reforms initiated by the federal government, which carried on to local and state government in the later years. It's proven to be a very popular form because it allows the greatest public input on the matter, and it allows the greatest accountability, because it's not like, well, this program received, you know, $135,000 this year, so we're going to keep it at that. It requires constant justification for the taxpayers, for the people of the city or the people of that governmental jurisdiction, to know that because a program received money one year, it won't necessarily receive programmatic funding the next year. So those are the three different approaches to budgeting. Again, very basic overview, but I think this is a good place to begin our conversation. Now, what does the City of Phoenix use? As I mentioned earlier, if you look at the trial budget document that the city manager's office posts every year, it appears to me to be a mix of the programmatic budgeting and zero-based budgeting. I mean programmatic budgeting in that each program gets an item in the budget, whether it's a one departmental program or multi-departmental entity, which is something that, as an observer of City Hall at the Downtown Phoenix podcast, we like to see cross-departmental collaborations in City Hall. And it's also zero-based budgeting, because the city manager's office goes to the departments in January and February to say, okay, why do you think you need the money that you think you need? And it's up to those department chairs to come out and say, okay, I need $135,000 for this program because of these 10 reasons. So it's a continuous approach from year to year to year. And so that's also why it's a combination of zero-based budgeting as well. So again, think of zero-based budgeting as more of a tactic, more than a approach to budgeting. So now, why you're here? What's in the City of Phoenix budget for the next year? Well, the City of Phoenix budget is online at phoenix.gov/budget, and we have a link to the trial budget prepared by the city manager's office on the show notes for this episode of the podcast, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. I'm going to read an excerpt for what the city manager's justification of the budget is. And so this is an overview to the mayor and the city council and also the citizens of the City of Phoenix to explain where we are in the budget process and what follows. So this is from the city manager, Mr. Ed Zerker. The city manager's trial budget is a critical step in the budget process. The city manager is required to submit a balanced budget per the city charter, and the trial budget is the first opportunity for the mayor, the city council, and the community to review a budget which balances estimated revenue against estimated expenditures. Budget hearings are scheduled throughout the city in April. While the trial budget is focused largely on the general fund, All funds are presented a revised balanced budget proposal that takes the mayor, city council, and community feedback into account will be presented in May. So beginning tomorrow, Tuesday, April 1st, is the first of the community budget hearings. There's a series of hearings that are held all across the city of Phoenix for people to go and voice their concerns about what is in the budget or what has been left out of the budget. And there's been a lot of mobilization on Facebook from different constituencies for Facebook and other social media, I should say, to different constituencies to go to say, go to these budget hearings and advocate for X issue, advocate for Y issue. And next week we'll be talking to some individuals from different organizations that have successfully argued for their interests at these budget hearings. So the question now is, how does the city get its money? Well, the city has a lot of different pockets of money, but the most common one is what's called the general fund, which is named, I think, for obvious reasons. General fund resources pay for the general services of the city. Things like police, fire, the court system, the parks and recreation, libraries, senior services, transportation, whether it be streets maintenance or public transportation, and other community services. General fund resources in the city of Phoenix come from the city sales tax. If you own property, the primary property tax levy, any state share of any city share of state income, such as sales and vehicle taxes. And what that means is the money that you send to the state, either through state sales tax or state income tax, is split, state gas tax, is split among the cities of the state of Arizona relative to population. And the city of Phoenix gets its share back from that. And the last one, which I think is overlooked most frequently, are fines and fees, and then also just general service charges. In the city of Phoenix, general fund expenditures, so the city gets money to the general fund, but it has to spend that money just because the city of Phoenix is a living, breathing entity, and there is a cost to doing business. General fund expenditures make up the following four types of costs. Employee costs, which according to the city manager, comprise about 81% of the budget. Commodity and contractual expenses, which is about 14%. Contingency funds that are used to provide a cash balance to preserve high financial ratings, such as the city's bond rating. There was recent news about the city of Phoenix's bond rating going from a AAA, which is a almost perfect rating, to a AA+. That comprises 4% of the budget. This would also be things like debt service. And then also investments in capital paid in cash, such as technology, vehicles, and equipment. This would be the ongoing cost of maintaining and replacing items in the city of Phoenix. So that's where the money is spent that comes into the general fund on those large, on those four different items. Now, there's a deficit this year, as we mentioned earlier, and as you've heard in the news, of $38 million. And what that means is there's a gap of $38 million between what the city thinks it's going to spend in fiscal year 2014-15, so between July 1st, 2014, and June 30th, 2015, and what it thinks it is going to collect in taxes, fees, you know, items to the general fund. So what the city manager's office has done is said, well, how are we going to balance that $38 million deficit, which has befallen the city? And this is how the city manager is approaching it. About $7 million will come to further efficiencies and early reductions. $29 million comes through reductions to community services and internal services. So that would mean layoffs in staff at City of Phoenix, both in City Hall and at programs across the city of Phoenix, be it parks, pools, community services, etc. And then also the deferral of some less critical capital fleet equipment replacement. So that would mean some equipment that is in not great condition will have to be maintained until it could be until the city can pay to replace it, until it doesn't have a deficit of $38 million. So there are other approaches. There are approaches to fix this. The city's manager's trial budget is the first step, but I think it's a key step in saying this is the situation. This is an objective look at what can be done and what we think should be done. Other approaches are certainly out there. One would be cutting different services than the ones that have been presented to the public through the trial budget, and I'll go through some of the different services that have been cut later on in this episode. Another one would be reducing employee compensation levels, but this would require, it's not as easy as it seems, because this would require labor agreements and negotiations into labor agreements, as City of Phoenix employees are generally part of one or multiple unions to help or to facilitate employment and protection of employment, or increasing revenue, and the raising of taxes or fees would require a vote of the Phoenix City Council. Now, unfortunately, the City of Phoenix said that they wanted to reduce the food tax from 2% to 1%, and that took place on January 1st. And that cut a significant chunk of revenue to the City of Phoenix, and that's sort of why the city's in this $38 million hole. I don't see the city now turning around and saying, or the City Council now turning around and saying, we should probably raise taxes. But stranger things have happened. So that's how that will... So that's a general overview of the budget for 2014-15. So... we'll talk about the budget hearings later on in the episode, and we'll talk about that to a great extent next week, in next week's episode of the Downtown Phoenix podcast. What people are wondering is what is slated to be cut in the trial budget. What has taken the short straw? And what is going to be cut? Well, one of the reports to the city manager's trial budget is from Mario Paniaga, the budget and research director, and this is what he has proposed for cutting, for programmatic reductions. The closure of the police central booking unit in the police department, the elimination of fire prevention and victim response services in the fire department, closing three senior centers, eliminating two community prosecutors, closing two city courtrooms, reducing the graffiti busters program, closing the Barrios Unidos and Holiday Summer program, summer neighborhood centers, eliminating supervised activities at the Rose Mofford Sports Complex, which is near Metro Center Mall, and the Encanto Sports Complex, which is closer to downtown. Closing three city pools, eliminating 11 swim teams and 6 diving teams. Closing most community and recreation centers. Reducing street repair and maintenance. Reducing maintenance of traffic signals. Eliminating citywide volunteer program coordination. Reducing internal auditors that in turn help reduce the city's financial and legal compliance risks. Reducing tax enforcement inspectors that increase revenue by identifying taxes owed to the city, and other cuts as well, which we will detail a little later on. A question that people have always asked is, what does this do to the library system? Well, the library comes from a different pocket of money because library is funded through property taxes. And because there has been no major reduction in property taxes, the libraries will stay open. So the general fund or the trial budget requests, or the general fund budget for the next fiscal year shows there will be no reductions to library services, which is a major victory, I think, for library, for cities, and for the library. We love our libraries here in the city of Phoenix. People, so we've discussed libraries, we've discussed how some of the cuts are going to be, but there are always, every year, increases to the cost of doing business. It's not just something that befalls government, it's something that befalls everyone. Large corporations, small corporations, the individual entrepreneur, families and individuals living, it just costs go up. There are some increases that are statutorily required by either various agreements or just these are items that are becoming more expensive as the cost of doing business increases. A lot of that is there's about $47 million of changes to the general fund budget in things that need to be done to keep the city in business. And $18 million of that is contributions to both public safety and the civil service pensions, just increased costs to insurance. The city is budgeting increased overtime for support for Super Bowl, which comes to Phoenix and to Glendale next year. Replacing capital fleet equipment, minimum added critical technology, increases to the city's contingency fund to keep a good credit rating, additional pay-as-you-go capital needs, and just other increased personnel costs. I mean, these are just costs of doing business, and it's neither a Democratic thing, it's neither a Republican thing, that these costs have gone up. This is just human. This is just the nature of doing business. So what's in the budget, you ask? This is the moment you've all been waiting for. We encourage you at the Downtown Phoenix podcast to read through the entire budget. Again, we'll have that link for you in the show notes for this episode, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. But we'll go through some things that we think affect quality of life for urban environments. So these are some selected excerpts. Where do the cuts come from? They come from all across the city of Phoenix, affecting things like police, but they also, police and fire, but also affect things like parks and recreation. In parks and recreation, two youth centers are slated to be closed, one at the Barrios Unidos Park near 16th Street in Mojave, and one at the Holiday Park in West Phoenix near 67th Avenue in Campbell. Programmatic reductions to two of the recreation centers, one Rose Mofford near Metro Center and Encanto Park near downtown. The closure of three city pools, one in North Phoenix, the Telephone Pioneer Pool, one in East Phoenix, the Pierce Pool at 44th Street and Palm Lane, and then the Holiday Pool, also at Holiday Park, 67th Avenue in Campbell. City also recommends the closure of the South Phoenix Youth Center in South Phoenix near 7th Street and Rozier. In addition, and this is what is the most detrimental cut we feel, is the closure of all 13 community centers in the city of Phoenix, which would impact people who take courses in various things, who rely on them for things like meals. And this would be a significant cut to their community. The city estimates about 300,000 people will be impacted by those cuts. In the Neighborhood Services Department, which is key to quality of life for downtown on a design and code enforcement basis, programs the big program to be cut is the Graffiti Busters program. And then it's just enforcement of various code compliance issues. Those will be the issues cut for neighborhood services. And the other thing we're going to talk about is the Office of Arts and Culture. Now, in full disclosure, I am a commissioner on the Office of Art, or for the Phoenix Office of Arts and Culture. So this area takes a special impact for me, and I will be speaking on these issues at one of the budget hearings coming up later in April. And I encourage you to speak to issues of that you are that you wish to speak about as well at the community budget hearings. In the Office of Arts and Culture, One staff position will be eliminated for public art program support, as well as the grant funding for nonprofit arts and culture organizations would drop by 18%. We believe at the Downtown Phoenix podcast that a great city requires great arts and also great parks. And those are two things that have taken a hit in this trial budget. Another issue to note, not being reduced programmatically, is public transportation, because that, again, comes from a different pocket of money. No reductions to services are being recommended at this time. Also, it's a regional thing, and therefore contains a different set of rules and regulations. In street transportation, for the condition of streets, the maintenance of streets will go down, but there's no reduction recommended for programs like bicycle infrastructure or bicycle share or other programs to enhance pedestrianism and walkability and bikeability in the city of Phoenix. A reminder for housekeeping that we'll be talking about the issue of transportation in downtown Phoenix on episode 7 of the Downtown Phoenix podcast, which will be released April 14th. And we'll also be talking accessibility in transportation. So that's a very generic overview of the City of Phoenix budget for the next fiscal year. So now the question is, a program or programs that you like or you strongly believe in are slated for closure. How do you go to the city manager's office? How do you go to these different meetings and say, I don't think these programs should be cut? We will have lists to all of the city budget hearings all across the city at our website, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. So that's our show, episode 5 of the Downtown Phoenix podcast. Thanks for sticking around and hearing about how the City of Phoenix government works and also the budgeting process. You know, this is a very important thing because, as we said at the top of this show, a city's budget outlines its priorities and policies for its operation. And it's evident in how it decides to raise revenue as well as how it decides to spend that revenue. Please learn more about the City of Phoenix's budget and all of the details in it. The document is rather long, something on the order of 635 pages. A lot of it is just forms and other things, but please do read through it all so you're better informed. We'll have a link to that on our website, downtownphoenixpodcast.com. Also on our website, downtownphoenixpodcast.com, we have our list of community events, our community calendar, which is always updated with the latest events. We're past the big events in downtown Phoenix, the McDowell Mountain Music Festival and the Hans Park Enhance celebration, which was last week and this weekend, or rather the previous weekend. This Friday is First Friday. Lots of events happening all around downtown Phoenix. Please go to some of those events. It'll be a lovely evening for sure. So that is our show. I'm Edward Jensen. Thanks for listening to episode 5 of the Downtown Phoenix podcast. We'll be back next week to continue our exploration of the City of Phoenix budget. Thanks for listening. This is the Downtown Phoenix podcast, an Edward Jensen urban production.